gang, welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. I'm your host, Jason Verlinde. As always, that's John Rauhaus playing in the background. I hope everyone out there is doing well. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for sharing this podcast with your friends and folks on the internet. It all goes a long way to helping our little show grow. And as you hopefully know, I love sharing fascinating stories from the world of fretted instruments. It could be folks who are famous or not so famous. It could be builders. It could be players. It could be folks on the periphery just kind of doing interesting things in our little space. And today, I'm talking to the two guys behind the Acoustic Coffee Company, Rich DeGinto and Mike Desiderio. Now, Rich and Mike are old buddies. They both love guitars. You'll hear a little bit about what they've been up to with guitars over the course of their career, but they decided mid-career to sort of launch a mail-order coffee company called Acoustic Coffee. And you're probably hearing about them in various magazines. They're doing the circuit. They're at a lot of the guitar shows that are happening right now. You're going to be able to taste their coffee at the next Fretboard Summit. And over the course of meeting them and talking to them over the last several months, I knew this was an interesting story, and I wanted to share it with you all. It's not often that two people try to make a guitar-themed beverage company, but here we have it. Now, the coolest thing about Acoustic Coffee is the more coffee you drink, the more rewards you get. It's a frequent flyer mile kind of business model. And I will just say, I drink a little bit of coffee, but I've sort of stopped being a coffee snob. But there is a coffee snob in my household, and my wife tried Acoustic Coffee and loved it. And she could care less about guitars, but she does care about coffee. So I figured that was felt like a big endorsement. Rich and Mike are great. I hope you enjoy hearing their story. I do just want to say, since I already mentioned it, the Fretboard Summit is happening August 25th to 27th. We just did a podcast all about it. If you've ever read our magazine or listened to this podcast and thought, I want to meet some of these characters, here's how you can meet many of the characters that we've profiled in our magazine. So many great brands are going to be at this gathering. So many great individuals and players. And you're going to be able to basically walk right up to them, ask them questions, hear them do live podcast tapings with yours truly, or watch them perform. And you're never going to be able to experience anything quite like this ever again. The venue is Chicago's Old Town School of Folk Music, one of the great, great venues in all of Chicago. We've got the Milk Carton Kids playing. We've got Molly Tuttle appearing. We're going to have a lot of other names we're going to be adding to the mix. But some of the many people you've heard about on this podcast, including Steve McCreary and Ken Parker, Tom Rebecki, on and on, are going to be at this event. So you're going to want to be there. Just trust me on this. No other big announcements except that we have a couple of sponsors. Our friends at Retrofret Vintage Guitars are back. We're talking acoustics today. So they've got a 1996 D28, but they also have a 1943 Gibson J45 with the banner. They've got a Collings MF5 carved top mandolin in stock right now, as well as a Monteleone mandolin. Pretty much something for everyone there at Retrofret Vintage Guitars. And we had a blast talking to them a few weeks back on this very podcast. Please, 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 if you reach out to them, tell them. Our friends at Peghead Nation, the home of Roots Music Instruction, also want me to remind you that they are sponsoring the Fretboard Journal podcast, and that if you use the promo code Fretboard when you check out, you will get your first month free, or you can save $20 off of any annual subscription. This site cracks me up because literally 50% or more of the instructors on Peghead Nation have been featured either in the Fretboard Journal magazine or on this very podcast. I'm talking about the likes of Matt Munisteri and Scott Nygaard and Danny Barnes and Mike Compton and Bill Evans and Stevie Coyle, on and on. So many of these people I know well through this very podcast. So if anyone out there is like me and could use a little improvement in your playing, no matter what the instrument, go check out Peghead Nation. Our other sponsor for this week is our friends over at Calton Cases, who make pretty much the greatest flight case imaginable. Calton-cases.com is how you can read up on them. They're made in Austin, Texas these days, in case you haven't been following the Calton company. They have something for pretty much every guitar, banjo, and mandolin shape imaginable, acoustic and electric, and it's just a fun brand. In fact, they're such a fun brand that when I proposed a pretty goofy idea to them, they said yes. So here it is. One of our subscribers to our print magazine or our digital magazine will be chosen at random. And when they get their new issue of the Fretboard Journal 50 in a couple weeks, there's going to be a golden ticket either attached or inside their magazine. And somebody is going to win a Calton case of their choice in Fretboard Journal red, just like the red on our logo, which I thought was a pretty cool statement. Calton was all over it. So trust me when I say we're going to be taking care of our subscribers because you mean the world to us. All right, without further ado, here is my conversation with Rich and Mike from Acoustic Coffee Company. Guys, welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. It's great to hear from you, and it's been great over the last several months to just kind of hear you and hear your story. Acoustic Coffee is this incredible little brand that's growing, it seems, by leaps and bounds. And usually when I talk to people who are sort of mid-career, you know, maybe they have interest in building a guitar, or maybe they just decide to start collecting guitars seriously. You guys have this guitar-centric coffee company, and I want you to just tell the story of how it came to be, because there's nothing else like it.
Well, first, let me just say, from my perspective, it's a pleasure to be here, Jason. Thanks for having us. And the story is pretty simple. One day we realized that people enjoy coffee. It's almost like a no-brainer. But I've been, I don't want to say a connoisseur of coffee. I've been on the road so much in my career, traveling nonstop in airports all over the world. But coffee was a staple. And the music has also been a staple through my career. Not professionally, I'm not a performer. In fact, I get a little jittery. I was having a conversation with a performer the other day, and he said, "Well, why don't you come up here and play?" And it's not my thing. I'd rather be in a shop like this and you know, use my love of the craft. But the idea of merging these two passions, I don't know what took us so long. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm delighted to tell you our story, but Mike, I'll let you take it from here.
and we should preface for folks listening, Rich, you do have an entire luthery shop behind you right now, with at least a half dozen guitars in the works. So you also have dabbled in luthery in a big way.
Dabbled is actually, Jason, it's a very good way of saying it. I don't commoditize my work. I have never sold a guitar. I was taught how to do this years ago, 25, going on 30 years, from a wonderful builder in Philadelphia. I befriended him working on his advertising as a young art director, in my career. And, I told him one day I'd love to be able to make a guitar. Oh, there's Mike. Mike's got holding up guitar number one. So,
Rich is being humble.
Your domain, yeah.
Rich is being humble.
So first of all, Mike and I go way back to grade school. So it's a friendship that is strong and continual. And I feel blessed to be around so many wonderful people. And Mike is truly a godsend for me. But the meeting, my mentor named John Zeidler, back in the mid 90s, I remember having a conversation with John. I minored in music in college, and I've always worked with my hands as an artist, and woodworking was just passion of mine, furniture making. And I told John one day when we were working on his campaign, John, I'd love to be able to make a guitar, but I'm so intimidated by this. And in his style, he looked at me and simply said, Rich, if you can glue two pieces of wood together so they'll never come apart, you can make a guitar. So with that, he took me under his wing. I went into a shop and, you know, in the true apprentice form, he showed me, and we spent hours and hours and hours of every part of the process. So I remember one day asking him why he never wrote a book. He was telling me about attaching the bridge to the soundboard. Most books say attach the bridge to the soundboard. John spent 4 hours talking to me about all the nuances of how to get the bridge and all the pieces and all the parts and all these aspects of making sure that it would never fail. And I feel blessed to be taught that craft. So from that point forward, you know, the first guitar, the one that Mike just held up in front of the camera, that was 3 years in the making because I was on the road and doing my daytime job. So guitar two took about 3 years. I'm 30 years into this. I've made 10 guitars total. And I give them to family and friends and musicians just to gift them. Because to me, the art and the love is the therapy of working with the hands and doing the craft. And maybe someday I'll get to the amount of talent where I can actually perform on stage and entertain others. But that does give me a little bit of anxiety.
All right.
Yes, it does. And Rich, I'll comment. This number one guitar here to my right is beautiful, and it still plays better than, well, it plays better than ever. But over the past 30 years, since number one and I guess number 11, which you're working on now, I really need to see the difference. So maybe 11 can come to my house.
Okay. Well, I think 11's earmarked for someone in Texas. If they're listening to the podcast, maybe they'll be able to figure that out. But I do have 12 and 13, I got 10, 11, and 12 back there, and 13 is in my head. But that's a deal, Mike. We can certainly make that arrangement.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And Jason, I'll take a stab at answering your question as well. So yeah, as Rich mentioned, we go back 40 something years, grew up together. And I grew up a kid playing the piano, right? And I learned about the guitar through Rich. And back in, I guess it was probably the late 70s, early 80s, we decided to get together and have a little garage band, right? Like everyone else did, and with our, you know, Gibson knockoff electric guitars and Elka pianos. And we used to play and have a great, wonderful time. But we kind of together developed this mutual passion for playing, exploring, and composing music. And guitar was central to that, acoustic or electric. And, I have Rich to thank for my love for guitars. And I still am primarily a piano player. I also learned woodworking from Rich. It was a craft that he picked up, as he said, when he was in college. And over the years, I since have picked it up as well. And I'm trying my hand at building my first guitar. And I predict that by the time I die, I will have made one guitar. So that's how long it's taken. But it's fun. It's fun. Beautiful.
What kind of guitar is it?
It's Rich would say, this is typical of me. Everything I start, if I start a project, I got to make the most complicated thing in the world. So I'm trying an arch top as my first one. And all I've done so far is I've carved out the top.
He doesn't know it yet, but the archtop's also going to have a fan fret display. So I'm really going to lay it on thick, you know, when it's
most woodworking projects I start end up being chisel racks, right? Because they're either going to get thrown out or. Yeah.
That is a funny story. So we're going to have a squirrel moment here, Jason, but I can't remember what circa this is, but Mike says, I'm going to build a hope chest. And he's in the woodworking class. And he has all this maple, and he starts hand cutting the dovetails. And anybody that's done the woodwork and understands dovetails are important from a strength perspective, but they're not easy, especially if you don't have routers and jigs, if you're cutting them by hand. So he cuts the dovetails and doesn't like them. So then he cuts the dovetails off, and now the hope chest now becomes a little smaller. So then he cuts them off again, and now hope chest is a little smaller. And then somewhere around the time that it got to be the size of like a humidor or a little box, all the wood was thrown in the corner. And so I can do this, but my Japanese chisels are there and a piece of maple that used to be a hope chest. And one of my
the hopeless so, chest, yes.
So fun stuff.
Wow. I'm the less creative guy is the point.
No. So you guys have this lifelong friendship. You're geeking out over woodworking. You're geeking out over guitars and music. At what point does, you know, the idea of a coffee company come into play?
Great question. So again, I think I probably mixed this in there, but coffee has been I think one of the primary food groups for me throughout my career. And there's an interesting learning here for me. When you're on the road and you're traveling as much as I was, coffee was just a cup of coffee. Just give me coffee. It didn't matter. It was always black coffee. I didn't spend time in the long lines with putting all the frou-frou stuff in it. And over the years, tasting different coffees, you really start to notice a difference. But when you're, like I said, when you're traveling, it's really more caffeination, the process of caffeination, than it is, you know, enjoying a cup of coffee. And so probably there's probably a lot of similarities in this aspect of our journey, in that the pandemic comes, all of a sudden people have all this time in their hands. I find myself more in the shop. I'm having more coffee. And then you start thinking, wow, you know, how many, everybody drinks coffee, and why not create a community of guitar enthusiasts? And we are going to expand this. It's acoustic enthusiasts, really, because, you know, we don't want to leave mandolin players out and banjo players out and et cetera. So it's really the synergy was this idea of acoustics and the love and art of the acoustic music and the acoustics that happen in roasting fine coffee. And there's, you know, first crack, there's a second crack, and the roasters listen to this very carefully to determine, because, you know, the coffee keeps cooking. Even though you dump it out of the roaster, it still cooks. So the timing has to be spot on. So sat down and Mike, hey, Mike, we got this idea. You interested? Let's kick this around. Let's see what we can do with it. And in that first 2 weeks to a month, I think, Mike, I can't even imagine how much coffee we drank. We drank so much coffee. And the meeting days were drink coffee, drink coffee, drink coffee. Let's see if we can taste flavors. We were mostly doing pour overs. Right. So we would grind the beans, do the pour over, taste the flavors. We weren't really doing the whole, like, what is it called? The cupping, where you suck it all in and, you know, aspirate on it. But at the end of the day, your palate knows what it likes. And for me, the synergies of the name acoustics, the acoustics in both, the love of coffee, good coffee, not just, you know, any coffee, but great coffee, and the diversity that's in the beans, and the natural attraction, not attraction, but connection with where it's grown. It's grown in the bean belt. And guess what else is grown around the equators and the tropics is also these wonderful tone woods. So all of a sudden, all this stuff starts to click together, and there's pretty much a coffee subscription company out there for just about every cause you can imagine. And that's great, but we haven't come across one that was really aligned with people that have a true passion for acoustic music. And for me, I think, and I'll put the bow on it this way, Jason, the one of my favorite moments in the week is on the weekends, I wake up, I put on the coffee, I sit down with the guitar, and it's me and the coffee and the guitar, just in isolation, just very private. And it's important. Again, it's therapeutic for me. And that's really where the idea kicked off. So what did I leave out, Mike? I'm sure there's probably a lot of details from operations that are.
Well, it's a question that's fair. How did we end up doing this? And for me, so I got to wind the clock back a few years. So Rich and I were at the tail end of the baby boomers, right? Jason, I think you're probably a little younger than us. So, and, you know, by necessity, I think we were kind of raised, got to get a job, right? Got to work, make money. And it never really came into consideration. You got to do something you're passionate about. And, I'm not a wonderful family life growing up, not knocking that at all. But the focus was, we don't want you to have to go through what we went through, get a job, be successful. And, you know, you internalize that, you grow up, you go to school, and you get jobs. And it became my career, at least. And I'm sure Ritz can probably identify with this a little bit, although he was more focused in an area that he was passionate about, in advertising. We end up in this career that just, it's like jumping in a river and you flow down and you don't even think about where you're heading. You just go. And over the course of the last 35 years, I think it's fair to say I ended up having a successful career, but not really doing anything that was overly interesting or compelling to me. I just ended up where I ended up. And I was out of work about a year ago, looking for work. And Rich called me with this idea. Hey, guitars, coffee. I'm in. And it was for the first time that I had inklings of, man, this could be something that is really not only incorporates those things that I've been fortunate enough to learn in business throughout the years, but these two things that I'm also passionate about. So about a year ago, I think, Rich, you made that call and we mulled it over, talked about it for a couple of weeks and decided we're done. And we just then hopped in the next river. And now we're going down one, at least that we know where it's going, we think. So yeah. I don't know if I did justice describing that, Rich, but that's been my experience on my side.
No, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys had your jittery tasting sessions where you're downing a lot of coffee, and then you partnered with the roaster. Is that what happened next?
Oh yeah. So the caffeine infusion during the day was balanced by the martinis at the night. It was
sounds actually like a good life.
Yeah. It was required, right? We had to bring the level down. So, So part of the journey, Jason, is the search for great coffee. And, you know, there's coffee everywhere. And in fact, I don't want to, you know, get too deep in the woods, but there's in the dialogues, we realize that not everyone necessarily is interested in great coffee. They just want their cup of coffee, as I am when I'm on the road, you know, traveling from city to city. So, but for those that are really interested in great coffee, it was important for us to find a roaster and a supplier that was meeting our expectations. So a lot of conversations, a lot of interviews, a lot of discussions, but we did settle on a roaster in the New York area. Who's doing our contract roasting for us to our specifications. He's doing a wonderful job and has educated us on all the little nuances and details, and especially including the fact that the commodity of coffee is rising like crazy, given the frosts in Brazil and some other of these, you know, the supply chain issues. But if we stay true to our audience and we stay true to the quality of the product, and Mike summarized it beautifully, you know, do right by the customer. You know, we talked, for example, select the roaster, make sure that the coffee is excellent, but what if somebody doesn't like it? What's our return policy? Return policy is give the coffee to a friend of yours. You know, don't send it back. We're sorry. You're not, you know, your expectations weren't met, but you know, what else could we do? Can you try, would you like to try another one? And we've stuck to that kind of mindset, that belief that if you do right by the customer, then you start to build raving fans. And the more raving fans we can get for people that enjoy this combination of great acoustic music and wonderful coffee, the more we're going to be able to do in terms of giving back with our great charities that we have. We have three that we're starting with. We're having really cool conversations with many more, but you know, giving back is also very dear and true to us. And so this wouldn't be, it's not just about, you know, merging the two, it's about doing great for people that could use a little boost through the gift of music as well.
I love it. So you guys have this like multi-prong approach to, you're not just selling coffee, you're giving back to charities, but then there's also this reward system where, to make it really basic, if I buy a dollar's worth of coffee, I get a point, which then can be redeemed for anything from a Fretboard Journal subscription to all sorts of stuff you guys have planned. How did that come about?
I'm going to do a short answer and then I'm going to let Mike run with it. But as I've said multiple times now, traveling, being on the road, people have always said to me, man, you must have so many frequent flyer miles. And I would say, yeah, I do. But the only thing I can get for them is another flight. So if I could trade in those miles for a new car or, you know, upgrade on my house or a kitchen renovation, that would be wonderful. But really, that's the spirit of it. And again, if we all share in this belief that, you know, we are enthusiasts of acoustic music, it doesn't matter that you use your points for more coffee. So we started reaching out to individuals like yourself. We got a great list of people, and Mike can run through as well. Why not be able to do more with your points than just get more coffee? So,
yeah. Yeah. And I'll say that I think, Jason, it's fair that our approach to points and charities evolved over time. We always knew the charity was going to be core to it. And we learned as we went through our own internal working sessions, we learned that, you know, points are huge, right? In the online market, in almost any market nowadays, points are huge. So we had to put together models that allow us to provide a premium product at a reasonable price, but also then provide for benefit, upside benefits like points, like also charities in addition to points. So we put together some pretty complex models and realized that and lots of back and forth, lots of uncomfortable back and forth, coming up with a price point that we thought would make sense for our customers, but also allow them to maintain or get the benefit of those points by using those points to get Fretboard Journal, to get tools, et cetera, to get additional coffee if they want. But then also there's a second pot of points put aside just for charities. So we had to come up with, we kind of leaned on our combination of operational and finance skills mixed with our marketing skills to come up with the right, what we think is the special sauce that allows us to get those industry partners on board and also the charities on board. I don't know if that quite makes sense the way I described it, but it was a fairly complex process. And my guess is it will continue to change and evolve as we continue to grow and learn more about what our customers need, about what they want, about their feedback, about how we're able to engage with our charities, and how also, most importantly, we're able to engage with those partners like Fretboard Journal to satisfy the needs of your customers.
It's a very impressive operation. I've had the coffee. It's amazing. I just took it up on a ski trip last weekend and it was great. I also am like the guy, the part of my brain that is responsible for like web maintenance. I'm like, how the heck do you manage all these points? Like, I'm sure there's software now, but I'm just like, wow, this sounds really complicated.
Well, see my beard? It's gray. It was black 6 months ago.
Jason, so, I have to tell you, it's so funny that you just teed that up, because the one little antidote I was going to add to Mike's wonderful description there was, we've broken a number of web architectures with this model because they can't get it to work. It hasn't been easy. And rolling through, I don't know, Mike, what are we on, our third, fourth developer now? It's been a look, it's like everything in business, it's a learning. You do the best you can, but you learn a ton along the way, and we've certainly learned a ton. And it would be easy to go, all right, well, this is good enough, but that's not us. It's been an interesting journey. And you know what, Jason, I don't think we're really finished with it yet. I think it can still get better in terms of the overall experience. So, but the rewards, it's also a diverse audience, right? So acoustic music, you have the performance side, you have just the enthusiasts of people that like to listen to acoustic cover tunes. Everybody has their favorite artist. There's so much overlap and intertwined through this topic or this subject that it's really exciting. And every week, Mike and I are getting on the phone, there's another idea. We have a whole books full of ideas. We just haven't been able to realize them yet. But in amongst all of this is also the luthier component and getting a better understanding of the luthier market, not just the wonderful master builders that are out there that do bespoke, custom builds that are just, magical instruments. But then there's folks like me that, are looking on YouTube, understanding how this works. They go buy two pieces of wood, they glue them together, they break, they go buy two more pieces of wood, they do it again. I have no idea how large that market is, but that's a wonderful place to enjoy the coffee, because you need the focus, you need the, that attention. I think our friend Michael Bashkin said it beautifully, and we're having a conversation with him. He said the most important tool in any luthier's bench is a great cup of coffee. And so we said, Michael, put that in the read. That's gone in the voiceover. So we're right there with you. But the luthier component, the vast majority of individuals that are just music fans, I don't think they have an appreciation like the builders do of all that's involved there. So we want to make sure that they're included. So like Mike said, there's great publications that they can get, but there's also supplies, tone woods, tools, there's gear, strings, capos, the list goes on and on and on. So the more we can expand our reach and our partners with great companies that are participating, then our members that are enjoying great coffee are going to be able to use their points in a lot of great ways.
Yeah. Yeah, Rich, I mean, you know firsthand, the recreational luthier world is a big one. I mean, you've got a very well-appointed shop right behind you, although you're not hanging your shingle and trying to sell these guitars. And, you know, I know our friends at Allied Luthery and Stu Mac do a lot of business with folks who, you know, just want to have a hobby, not necessarily a business.
Yeah, yeah, and I commend those guys. I mean, you know, I've been and I still am, you know, working with all of them. Adam's great, and Brock's great, and Chris is great, and you know, the there's an addictiveness to the build, right? So you make your first guitar. I had the blessing of having John Zeidler beside me. That's the mentor that I was mentioning earlier. He's no longer with us, unfortunately. And the world misses him, but he was beside me the whole way through the build of Mike's guitar number one. So I had to take that knowledge and start to apply it with all the readings from Gal and all the other publications and talking to different builders. And it's been wonderful. You know, one of the my favorite aspects of this, Jason, is the open source sharing that happens. Everyone's delighted to talk about how they brace or how they voice or how they approach this aspect of the build and share it with others, because commoditizing it is a completely different game. You know, when you get into the Taylor and the Martin and the Guilds, and you know, Richard's build out in Santa Cruz has been absolutely amazing. If anyone's not had a chance to see his shop, he's just a wonderful, wonderful master. And you know, I look at those instruments and I go, man, someday I might be able to get there. But through all, a commonality, at least that we're recognizing through all of these little intertwined segments of the market, is a great cup of coffee. At least we're hoping.
Yeah. So you guys have this unique business model. It's unlike anything I've ever heard. You're tapping into a unique audience, music lovers, both guitar makers and acoustic music lovers. You got a unique URL, acoustic.coffee. I've never even knew that you could have a coffee.coffee domain. What's the reception been? I mean, how has this been received?
It's been received great. Mike's going to keep me honest here. So everyone that comes in contact and tastes the coffee absolutely raves about it. Mm-hmm. So that's first and foremost. Every week there's more members. Now it's not, this is not going to be a Wall Street Journal white paper sure. by any stretch of imagination, because it's the two of us. We made a conscious decision that this is going to be a private endeavor. We funded it ourselves, and we're the ones that are out, you know, on the road, knocking on doors and building the relationships. So we don't have the Super Bowl ad campaign budgets to go out there and blast it across the whole world. We'd love to get more performers engaged so, you know, that we can partner with them in some form or fashion. But we are looking forward to shows, congresses, and helping to provide awareness as best we can. But it's definitely a growth. You know, we're not upset at all about that, because we haven't really said hey, we have to hit this number, and we certainly don't have any, we're not public, so we don't have to hit those forecasts. But Mike, do you want to add anything to
that? Yeah. So when we launched, and our launch date officially was August 13th of this past summer, we had, you name it, financial models that said, this is what we expect to happen. But, you know, we're bobbing and weaving every day. That said, our financial models were based on numbers we met up. We didn't know what to expect. But since we've learned what to expect, and we have been growing organically and successfully, and we're quite happy with the growth we've had, you know, it's never enough. But the core, I think the core that we continually come back to is, it is okay. Slow and steady growth is perfectly fine. What is not okay, what is unacceptable, is to have a single dissatisfied customer. So that's where we're spending our time, making sure that every step we make is perfectly executed. And we're human. It's not going to be perfectly executed. But when we have a hiccup or a bump in the road, we make it right for our customers. We know that that's the approach to take to make a lasting enterprise here. So we're continuing to grow. And relationships like the one we're building with you, we think are going to be quite beneficial long term. One of the areas that we're dabbling in now that we know nothing about, I mean, we're all guys, is social media. How do we get into that world and have that help complement our growth? We don't know. We're learning as we go. But I think to your question, it's gone well. We're busier than we ever expected to be. And that's a good thing. And we're just looking to continue to do the right thing and hope for continued growth.
I love it. Now, all the coffee snobs, and I imagine it's a big percentage of the people listening to the show, are going to be asking, like, how many varieties do you have? How many different blends? How many different roasts? What does the lineup currently look like? And how varied do you think it will be over the next year or two?
I couldn't have teed that question up better myself. our current lineup is 7. So of all the coffees we tasted from around the world, we decided, and this was in a consultation with our roaster, we decided on 7, which are 5 single origins and 2 blends. And one of the single origins is a decaf. And we decided on those for a number of reasons. One was our personal preference, our taste, and then also what's more popular in the market. We also offer whole bean and ground, medium ground. What we are looking to expand this year, and we have all the pieces lined up, we just haven't pulled the trigger yet, is to get that lineup from 7 up to probably around 15 by the end of the year.
Wow.
And we're also going to be offering custom grinds. So the customer can order whole bean or not just ground, but ground in 5 different types. So we're just, now that we're getting established and getting our legs under us, we're going to start to respond to our customers by offering greater variety. And that includes organics, which are big.
Wow. Could this eventually transition into a place where, like, you can get the Michael Bashkin blend or the John Monteleone or whoever your favorite luthier is? You know, you're drinking the same coffee as they are.
Rich, that's a question for you.
So, great minds. I mean, clearly Jason's plugged in here. So I will say that the conversations are in process. Let's leave it at that.
I didn't even know. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're in progress. Not process. They're in progress at different levels of interest. So, for example, a group that we were talking to was interested in a manufacturer, their line. Their blend. So one of the things that Mike and I have been doing is working with the roaster to say, okay, let's look at these. These are the 4 flavors that make sense. Let's look at, these are 4 unique blends, and the origins of those blends and the mixes and percentages of those blends are done for a very specific reason to create a certain taste profile. So that manufacturer is currently tasting those blends, and we'll see where they land. There are other conversations about having a X brand blend or an X brand blend, et cetera. So yeah, we're open to any and all ideas are on the table. We'd like to explore all of them as long as, and this is the caveat, that the idea brings value to people who are coffee and acoustic music enthusiasts. So the last thing, this is going to sound crass, but the last thing the world needs is just another coffee. It's like a microbrew. We don't need another microbrew. There's plenty of them out there, but people like brewing, so they do their thing. And I know people that are even, roasting their coffee on their grill in their backyard because it's something that they like to do. So it's not about just another coffee. It's about what's bringing value. Where are the alignments? Where is the opportunity? Those conversations in there, and they're fun. They're fun conversations because you're solving another challenge, so to speak. Because creating a new blend that fits that, that story for that particular manufacturer or player needs to be right on.
Yeah. Well, I love it, guys. I mean, I'll be honest, you came out of left field. You weren't on my radar. You just started in August, which is incredible. And it was like a couple of guitar nuts are going to start sponsoring Luthier and Luthier for their new coffee company. And I'm like, that sounds cool. And then I've actually been able to try the goods. You guys have created this whole little ecosystem on your website with the points and reward system. And it's really impressive. I hope folks will check it out. I know we have a code people can use to get 1 bag free if they buy another bag. And however you find it, though, it's just acoustic.coffee, and dive in, folks. This is a cool project.
Well, we're glad you love it. And we're glad you love the coffee, Jason. And, you guys are fantastic. The whole group out there is been a pleasure to work with. And like I said, you know, I'm looking forward to, I feel like the lockdowns are lightening up. The shows are starting to pick back up again. So we're really looking forward to getting out on the road, shaking hands, meeting people, saying hello. So it's been a fun couple months, and we're looking forward to some a lot more engagement and enjoyment moving forward as well.
All right, so. I'll let you get back to the, what is it, guitar 12 and 13 is currently on the bench? 11, 12, and 13?
I got 9, 10, 11, 12. A couple of those are, I hate to say this, but they're firewood. They're not firewood, but I'm gonna cut them open. I'm going to come
be roasting beans with those. Yes.
So people can see the bracing in the inside. Not a lot of people get to see how the inside of a guitar is structured. So I might cut them open and use them for displays, but they just didn't meet my expectations. I think that was the two closest to the camera are what was 4 and 5 many, many years ago. So, but
Jason, this was really very nice of you, and a great opportunity for us to get to know you better, and we look forward to getting to know your listeners better. And I would just encourage those of you listening, please feel free to come to the website, even if you buy coffee, that'd be wonderful. But even if not, check out some of our content. We've got some great interviews and other content that's growing on a regular basis. And, Jason, just want to thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, that was my talk with Acoustic Coffee Company. I hope you enjoyed it. We have another podcast coming up later this week with Lily Henley, who's got an absolutely beautiful album coming out. And then we have a lot more surprises in store, including Bill Frisell later this month and a lot more, all on the Fretboard Journal podcast. So please stay tuned. Please keep sharing the show with friends and subscribe if you haven't yet.